Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show aliveandkicking@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, how self-esteem is the cornerstone of all achievement with the mindset coach Marie McCarthy. How 61% of Irish adults aren't getting enough vitamin D. And how comfortable would you be to do a naked photo shoot? So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? Well, I always decry, or at least internally, the fact that you can't get a decent decision made over the summer. And I also feel the same as it approaches Christmas. Everything just gets put on hold to the new year. I like to think I'm not impatient. I'm not sure that is true, but it mainly comes from the fact that I value time and I don't really like to see it wasted. And while I do agree that there is definitely a need for a wind down period over the summer and indeed over the Christmas holiday season, I find there's a funny energy around. Kids off, the transient nature of people coming and going with travel. Part of me finds it exhausting. I think I thrive on routine in many ways. I'm not having a moan per se. It's more an observation about the summer months. And I think I'm just coming off the back of a realisation this week that I now have to work alongside kids, constantly vying for my attention, a snack or a lift somewhere. But look, aren't we healthy and well and happy to be so? I was also looking at booking a last minute holiday, and that would actually put years on you. The price, the complication, the decisions. I can see why staycations and fecking everything into the car year after year has won out for me. But there's something about a resort and a sun lounger that's really calling to me this year. Whatever your summer brings you, I wish you a good one. You can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, a survey has found that 61% of Irish adults aren't getting enough vitamin D. In addition, 94% of teenagers are lacking too. Sarah Keogh is founder of the nutrition consultancy company Eat Well, and she joins me in studio now. Well, Sarah, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
So is this vitamin D deficiency all down to our lack of balmy sunshine?
So it's two places. It's definitely the lack of sunshine is the major place, because obviously that's the ideal place where we're going to get vitamin D. But it is also down to we just don't eat it. It's not in a whole lot of foods in Ireland as well, and not just in Ireland, anywhere. It's just not a common nutrient that we find. So if we're living in Ireland where, let's face it, we're not having the world's nicest summer, we're not getting enough vitamin D. We really need to make sure that it's coming in from food from other places as well. We really just can't rely on it. And, you know, I think what a lot of people miss even about the sun is that the sun that hits Ireland from October through to March, so right through the winter, is too weak to make any vitamin D. So even if there was a sunny day in November and you went out for a walk, you will make zero vitamin D there. During the summer, the sun is stronger, but obviously, you know, we have sunscreen, which is really good for helping to prevent skin cancer, but it does reduce the vitamin D, but we just don't get the weather either. So it's really important that we are looking at our diet as well when it comes to vitamin D.
And why do we need vitamin D?
So the big one for vitamin D is bone health. So we need vitamin D to absorb calcium from the food that we eat, and it also gets it into the bones as well. But it doesn't just look after bone health. We know vitamin D is very important for the immune system as well. So it's a key nutrient that we want to get in. So it's in a few different spots in the body that's needed.
What about the foods then? You mentioned there are not many, but what foods can we find vitamin D in?
So the major food that we find vitamin D in is going to be oil-rich fish. And we know that eating sort of oily fish, oil-rich fish twice a week will make a big contribution to the vitamin D that we need. So, you know, things like tuna actually is a really good source. Salmon is going to be another one as well. And, you know, fresh or tinned, both actually work really, really well.
Okay. And can supplementation work here?
Absolutely. And there's a guideline from the HSE now that we all take vitamin D during the winter. So for, you know, up to about age five, we're looking at 5 micrograms a day, up to kind of teenage years, 10 micrograms. And then teens and adults all need to be taking 15 micrograms during the winter. Some people continue that in the summer, but the recommendation is still to top up with vitamin D rich foods as well.
And you mentioned children and teens there, and I said in the introduction that 94% of teenagers are lacking too. I mean, that's quite a stark statistic. How should we be managing that with our kids?
So it's looking at making sure that we follow guidelines for supplementation in the winter for children as well. And then during the summer that, well, all year round, that foods like, I mean, eggs would be another food that has a little bit of vitamin D in it, but really trying to encourage people to eat some fish because we're not brilliant at it. And it's such a valuable food. You know, fish is going to be rich in other nutrients. You know, you've got your omega-3s and it's actually a fantastic source of protein. And that's one, I think, one of the things that we look at, particularly for teenagers, is often where they're looking for protein is things like ham, bacon, you know, know, which are really high in salt and things like that. And but it's convenience. And that's where something like tuna actually comes in really well. And you can get the tuna that's tinned in spring water, so the salt levels are low. But it's a really handy alternative for a protein source as well as getting that vitamin D in as well.
Okay, who knew the tuna sandwich was packing such a punch?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, actually, years of working as a dietitian, the amount of people who don't actually consider tuna to be fish, I find really funny, because I'll often ask people, do you eat fish? And they're like, oh no, I don't eat fish. And then you're going through and they're having tuna sandwiches and tuna melts and all the rest. It's a funny one. A lot of people really like that as a fish.
That's the tuna mayonnaise. We kind of categorize it in a kind of a pate
or
sauce.
Salad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a different one, but a good one. Well, thank you very much. Where can people find you?
So I'm eatwell.ie, and there's some fantastic recipes for things to do with fish actually on johnwest.ie as well.
Okay, fantastic. Dietitian Sarah Keogh, thank you very much for coming on. Right, coming up after the break, how comfortable would you be to do a naked photo shoot?
Alive and kicking on News Talk.
Now, Fiona Loughran is a yoga, Pilates and breathwork teacher in Cork. She has an upcoming retreat in September called Wild Beings, inviting people to shed societal expectations and, if they're comfortable, their clothes. She joins me on the line now. Fiona, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much, Claire. I just want to take a moment to just give so much gratitude to you for taking this moment for me to share what our wild beings magic.
You're very welcome. And our paths crossed, it's probably over a year ago now. I did a gut health event down in Cork and you came and did the movement section. Yes. Your yoga and bringing people out of their heads and into their bodies. I mean, that's a very crude way. You call it embodiment. And a lot of people forget to do that. We're always on the go. We spend so much time in our heads. We forget to come down into our bodies.
Exactly. So why don't we take a moment to do that right now? And why not invite our listeners in? Because the thing is, we can get so busy in our lives that we forget to come back to the heart and come back to the body. So if it's okay with you, can we just take a moment to drop into that? Because that's something that's really important.
Yes. So how are you going to guide us through that?
We're going to take a little moment to guide. Yeah. So just inviting you to take a moment wherever you are to just press pause. And if it feels good for you, to close your eyes down and to take this moment to come back to your breath, to the flow of the inhale and the exhale, and arriving to wherever you are, wherever you're seated, arriving to the space. And so whatever has been going on in your day or the last few days or just in your life in general, the invitation is to let all of that just melt away and allowing yourself to fully surrender to the present moment. Connected to the breath, connected to the body, and using your next few exhalations to allow yourself to fully surrender to this present moment. And just coming back into alignment with your heart and with your body.
I'm picturing our listeners in their kitchen. It's Sunday morning. They're taking a breath, or perhaps they're catching up on podcasts or stopping on their walk, or, you know, hope they're not closing their eyes in the car. But just even taking a breath and feeling your sit bones in the seat is massive. And the more we do that during the day, the better our mindfulness is, the better our stress response is, and the better our overall well-being. Before we get into your upcoming retreat, Fiona, will you tell us a little bit about your wellness journey and what led you to do what you do? Because you've gone from the kind of corporate world and sharing wellness there to, as we'll get into it now, taking wellness to the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my journey has always, like from the start, has always been about embodiment. And that, you know, knowing that we are souls to have this embodied experience, having this human experience of being in our bodies. And we can get so caught up in our heads. And it's just the importance of coming back to the breath and to the body. And that's really been my journey with food, with movement, and like you were saying, in corporate wellness, but also working in schools as well. And so coming from that environment, even though it's quite like a masculine environment, and now moving more into the feminine flow, working with yoga and Pilates and body work, and also working with different plants and flowers and so many different modalities that are really supporting this embodiment, this empowerment and authenticity. And I mean, I could talk for years about my journey. It really feels like I've lived so many lives in one life. But having struggled with my own body, like dysmorphia, having like an eating disorder, like I started as a professional model when I was 15. And the thing is, from the outside, everything looked perfect, everything looked wonderful, but my internal world and my internal narrative was really not a good place.
And since you began to live life this way, what's been the impact and the change?
It's really about tuning into my heart and into my body, because our mind can tell us like, oh, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that. But now I'm able to catch myself in that narrative spiral that may not be the best and bring myself back into alignment and to alter my mind to the how I desire my life to look and feel, in that like simplicity. And also it's really coming back to the things that we loved when we were kids. And that's where being in nature and being playful and being wild is where the medicine is truly at.
And with that, you know, you're trained in breathwork, Pilates, yoga, and you're combining all of your knowledge along with somebody else, Isha, yes, to a retreat that's coming up. Tell us a bit about Wild Beings.
Okay, so yeah, Wild Beings. So this is going to be our sixth offering. And so last year we did five. And so last year we started with a women's circle, then we did a men's circle, we did a mixed circle, then we did a mixed four-night immersion, and then we also brought it to a festival in a castle outside Berlin. And now what we're desiring to offer is to have like the men and the women's circles separate, and then joining them in union in the evening together to integrate and share their experience. So we're really passionate about facilitating divine reconnection with the essence of our true selves. And we're really also like emphasizing the importance of being seen and celebrated in our naked truths. And with that, it's all of us are welcomed into this space. And we do like a lot of work with our shadow aspects as well, because we feel that, and we know that if we don't honor the shadow sides and the part of ourselves that we're, you know, not so excited to look at, then how can we be whole beings without honoring that part of ourselves and embracing and loving that aspect? And so we're really offering this profound medicine about being naked in nature and rewilding ourselves and really co-regulating our nervous systems together in community, in sacred space, in circles, where it's a space where the well-beings that have come already, that it's a safe space to really share from your heart and to bring any of these like shadow aspects to the light and bringing the unconscious to the conscious.
And the shadow side, are they things that we might view as negative within us and our personality and our experience?
Yeah, exactly. And it's also coming from like societal expectations of, oh no, hide that away, or don't talk about that part of yourself because it might make people feel uncomfortable.
And I was interested in this. Sorry, it's taken me a while for to have you on the show to talk about it. But you showed me in Cork photographs, and you didn't share any of the participants because obviously that's private to them. But you have a photo shoot, a naked photo shoot with each person. And that was really fascinating to me because that's another societal thing. I mean, obviously we wear clothes and that's important when out in public. But that's very much part of the experience, this sort of letting go. And your male and female clients have really got on board with this.
They have. And like, I do want to just bring into the light as well that everything that we offer is an invitation. So if you don't feel like getting naked, there's absolutely no need to get naked. It's there. We're offering this. And if it doesn't feel like aligned for you in that moment to get naked, there's absolutely no need. It's just that invitation. But from my experience so far, everyone is like so ready for it. Or they might keep their underwear on, but then literally after a few minutes, they're like, no, we're ready actually for that.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, you started talking about body dysmorphia, and there's so much negativity we put towards our body image. And wanting to change it and not liking certain parts of it. So to be given an opportunity to embrace that, what is the reaction of people after the photo shoot? What do you see any sort of change take place?
Huge, huge. Just really for them to be in their full expression. And the thing is, it's like really weaving this like-minded community, because we also, it's not just the time that we are together. We also have integration calls, and we have like a chat where we can all continue in community. If we are around that, we can meet up and go for a naked swim, or you know, so that's really the background that we want to create, this community that continues to grow, so that it's not just a once off scenario. It's something that is actually becoming a lifestyle.
Yeah, there's a charity event. I think it's definitely here in the east of the country anyway. I think it's called like Dip in the Nip or something. And yes, people say they just feel so free. They're very nervous. Mm-hmm. They're all there clinging to their towels. But then, you know, the countdown is called and people just drop the towels and in they go. And I've heard friends of mine talk about it and the confidence it gave them to kind of shake off all of these preconceived ideas and notions we have about ourselves or how other people will perceive us if we, you know, let down that metaphorical and physical towel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's something fascinating, because even, you know, before people come, they're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I still feel like a little, I'm not fully in my body acceptance, or I'm worried about this, or I'm worried about that. And then when they arrive, they just feel so safe and held that it's not even a thing.
Yeah. And as you say, it's an invitation, you know, when people come to it in their own way, and everybody has a different reaction. I mean, I know we're breaking down gender stereotypes, but you did say a lot of the men were looking to make it a little bit more manly with the smearing of mud and things, you know, all kind of things were happening in the woods.
Well, this was guided. So the thing is that, like, we bring different guided embodiment. And so actually taking some mud with water and smearing it on your body, it's like this invitation to feel into your physicality. And it takes the mind away from like, oh God, what am I doing, when the camera comes out. So the first part is guided. And for example, with the women, I guided a breast massage. And it just takes that, the mind out of it when something is being guided and you're really just feeling and anchoring into your body and awakening your sensuality, because that's something that's really important for us as well, is awakening your senses. And I weave in different mystical oils and elixirs that I make. And yeah, it's just the most joyful, playful experience. And the feedback that we've gotten from the wild beings that have come before is reflected in that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that feedback then, because I'm always interested, you know, with particularly retreats, that people go on a retreat, they have an incredible experience, but, mm-hmm. you know, you want to be able to bring that then, what you learn and those insights you gain, into your mm-hmm. everyday life. So how is that changing for people once they leave the retreat?
Yeah, it definitely, it's changing people. And what we offer during the time is that we are planting these seeds of these different rituals and practices that can easily be adapted into your everyday life. Like, for example, like with the women, I invite that they take a few minutes to massage their breasts in the morning and the evening, just like you would to brush your teeth. And is taking that moment to, again, come back to the body, awakening the sensuality. And, for example, we also work with a sacred fire. So we're both initiated in sacred fire and using that as a way of transformation. So it's all these rituals and knowing that ritual is making the ordinary a little bit more special. So it doesn't have to be a huge ritual or embodiment practice. It's like, even if you have 5 minutes or even taking a moment to set your intentions for your day to come back into alignment with your soul's highest self and expression.
Well, I think it's very brave, but also very brilliant. If people want to find out more information about wild beings, you'll find Fiona Loughran on Instagram. She's at Healthy Fiona, and her website is also healthyfiona.net. Fiona, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
And there's also an Instagram for the retreat in September. It's at wildbeings.love.
Alive and kicking. On News Talk.
Now, Marie McCarthy is a mindset coach specializing in coaching with neuroscience that results in her clients achieving deeper and long-lasting transformations. Her latest online course, Unlock Your Confidence, looks at self-esteem as the cornerstone or stumbling block of all personal development. And Marie joins me in studio now. Marie, you're very welcome back.
Thank you, Claire. It's great to be back.
So this online course was something that you decided to design because self-esteem is something you see your clients struggle with over and over again.
Correct. So I think it was, for me, a big moment when I started putting all the jigsaw pieces together for my clients, right? And I kept asking, what's the underlying thing? So all my clients that I'm working with, they're all getting the transformations and it looks slightly different for everyone. But I said, there's something really underlying that's the key to unlocking the success and happiness. So what is it? And actually, when I went and looked back on all my clients and kind of, you know, took some time, it was actually self-esteem and self-worth was a real nucleus for everything that then stems from it. And I suppose, obviously, I'm working with business owners and business leaders, and I'm doing a lot more, I suppose, media with you and Dublin City FM and things like that. And I wanted to be able to help, I suppose, more people that, you know, possibly aren't my ideal clients or aren't able to work with me. But I wanted to have something for everyone. And I decided to put the course together and build the course that it could actually help everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, what your career is, what stage of life you're at, that this course is going to give you the key to unlock like that inner happiness and why you've been maybe struggling in your life. So I, you know, took some time. It took ages actually to put it together. I did so much research and I love the neuroscience. So I wanted to really bring the neuroscience in because I think understanding and knowing the neuroscience for yourself helps you understand then how to regulate your nervous system and how to kind of make sense of what you're feeling.
Yeah, and I'm a real learner of that style. I want to look under the bonnet. I don't want to be told what to do. I want to know why to do it and exactly. What's happening in the body when I'm meditating, what's happening when I'm using breath work and how is that, you know, I want all that science.
Yeah.
And that kind of encourages you a little bit more.
It does, yeah.
So how debilitating is self-doubt?
Self-doubt, like, it will stop people from having the life they want. They're stopping having healthy relationships. They're staying in unhealthy relationships. It really manifests itself in terms of a negative and a positive. So they don't want to go for that job. They don't want to go for that promotion. It can show up as, a lot of the time, envy. Envious of other people seeming to have it all and seeming to have a life together. You know, a fraction within themselves and their relationships, stress, anxiety. So it plays a really pivotal role, because actually, when I'm doing the deep work with my clients and we're getting to the deep-rooted issue, and this is what I'm explaining in the course, you have to understand the deep-rooted issue for you. But actually, ultimately, it's your self-worth is really and truly at play. And when you start working on that, everything else starts to improve. So you know the way we love to meditate and we gratitude and we have all of these really wonderful things and breathing and, you know, our hot and cold therapies and our ice baths and our healthy eating and everything. But why can't we maintain anything? Because it's due to our lack of self-worth. We don't fundamentally believe we deserve it. So we sabotage ourselves along the way. So we might start out in the gym, we might start that healthy eating, and then ultimately, give it maybe 20 days, 15 days in, and studies have proven this, we step back again. Why goals don't stick? We don't fundamentally believe we're worthy of having the success and the happiness on the other side.
And that comparison is huge as well, because you said people seemingly have it all, or it seemingly came easy. We're not really necessarily, particularly on social media, seeing the struggle, seeing the failure, seeing the authenticity and the struggle, because it does come with all of those things. Is it very normal, though, for our brain to have self-doubt and self-worth? Is it sort of part of our amygdala scanning for danger and trying to keep us safe?
Absolutely. And you could have a balance of, you could have high self-worth in some areas, but you might have low self-worth maybe in your work or maybe a relationship or something like that, right? So you can have a balance, right? Now, here's the kicker, if you want. And what I find, and actually I was one of these people as well, hugely, when I kind of figured this out about myself, I was like, oh, wow, that's a bit of a light bulb. You can be highly confident, but you could have very low self-worth. And I think that really highlights just what you've said about social media, because people are very maybe confident going on camera, you know, going on radio, talking, and we don't necessarily see the anguish that they're really struggling with. Once the camera's turned off, what happens in the next 10 seconds after that video is shot? We don't really see that. And because people are confident to do X, Y, and Z, you think they must have a really high self-worth, but they actually don't. So that is a real eye-opener, I think, as well, to understand that just because someone has X, Y, and Z and they're confident on the outside doesn't necessarily mean that that matches on the inside. And when I look at self-worth and self-esteem, self-worth, when you have high self-worth, it's all internal. Like, you feel good about yourself. You're able to look at yourself in the mirror and go, you know, not too happy with that, or, but I'm okay in general. You're able to smile at yourself in the mirror. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that I work with who cannot look in the mirror and actually genuinely look at themselves while they're brushing their teeth. It's unbelievable. So low self-worth then a lot of the time shows up and manifests as external things. So we're putting a lot of status on our income, our homes that we have, you know, the cars we drive, a lot of external things that really aren't truly giving them the happiness.
And to get into the neuroscience of it, if we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day, 80% of them are thought to be negative and 90% of those are on repeat.
Correct.
That's all we need to understand about the brain, that it's so clever, it becomes like a time-saving organ. So it'll just keep firing out the same stuff. That's why we can kind of sleep drive sometimes to where we're going without necessarily having to think, because, you know, so much of our subconscious takes over.
Yeah.
So how do we start to rewire that? How do we change some of the negative to the positive and start working on that internal self-worth?
So that's a great question. And I've spent some time developing actually a really simple, easy thing that everyone could do. You could do it like sitting here right now. You could do it in the car. You could do it while you're doing the dishwasher. Because, you know, I always say, like, rewiring your brain is when you're doing the laundry, you're doing the dishwasher, you're doing those mundane jobs.
Yeah, you don't have to find time to sit on the cushion on the mountain.
Exactly, or about you. Because, you know, I'm all about that. It's great. But like reality kicks in and you've got kids and work and life and stuff. So I've created, which I'm only about to launch, it's called the ABC method. So what I was doing when I was thinking about this is like, how do you rewire your brain? Okay, so I've been doing this now for the last 5 years, right? And I'm rewiring it constantly. So the ABC method is basically you bring your attention to the thought. You breathe, because from the neuroscience perspective, you want to calm your nervous system down. You want to regulate yourself. And what that does is allows you to access your prefrontal cortex. So it allows you to access your executive function in your brain. And you're not thinking from your limbic part of the brain where that's your fight and flight. So it gives you just a moment to go, hang on. And then the C is choice. And here is where it gets interesting. The choice is, if you're thinking something negative about yourself, you have a choice to rewire your brain and think something positive. And it's in that moment, and if you keep doing that, it's like a muscle. You're going to go to the gym and you're going to work on your biceps or your abs, right? You're not going to walk out of the gym the next day with like a six pack because you thought, I want a six pack. You have to work it. It's a muscle. It's an active muscle. And if you just go ABC, attention, breathe, calm yourself down, and then make a choice, because the power is in you, not me, not anyone else around you. And it's in that moment you have a choice to make. Am I going to choose that thought, or am I going to actively push myself out of my comfort zone and think something differently? So if you just think ABC, I wanted to make it so simple and effective for people. If you think of a traffic light system, you know, the way, and that's your nervous system. Red, amber and green. You want to get to green. And it's a great way for you to control anything in your life. Maybe you have to have a difficult conversation. Maybe you have a presentation to do in work. You know, maybe you're changing careers and it's your first day. Anything. Using that simple method, because like we have to keep it simple, because I think if we over get analytical, it loses the magic and then we don't do it. While you're loading the dishwasher and you have that negative thought that comes in, you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, here we go again. Even that, if you change your thought to, I choose to get up in the morning, I am able to get up in the morning.
Mm.
I had to do this for my triathlon training that I'm doing at the moment. Like, so I'm going to give you a real example, right? So, you know, I'm probably, as you've seen, I'm training for King of Greystones and it's for the Gavin Glynn Foundation, which is an amazing foundation. And I'm on the team and there's 10 of us on the team, right? But they're all super fit. Like they're really fit. And I'm last at everything. I'm
self-doubt is creeping in.
Oh, totally. I'm struggling. I'm like, I didn't eat enough protein today. I didn't nourish myself enough. I'm like, I've no energy. I'm running on empty and I'm the last at everything. So in that moment, right, even though I'm in pain, I'm struggling, everyone is flying off ahead of me, I've changed my mindset in that moment to go, hang on a second now, stop the negativity, breathe again. And I've changed to, I can't, to, I am doing it. Hang on, I am running. I am on the bike. Yes, I mightn't be able to keep up with everyone else, but I am doing it. I can do this. So do you see the way you can apply it in every situation in your life? And if you keep doing it, over time, what I found is, and with my clients, it gets quicker. You're able to access that thought quicker and you're able to change that negativity then. And actually, they become less. So then what happens is you're reprogramming, as you said, your subconscious is what you want to reprogram. Because we didn't have any of this when we were babies. When a baby is born, they love themselves.
Yeah, and they're not afraid to speak up for their needs.
Exactly.
And they don't worry about roles. In fact, we celebrate them on the legs and tummy.
Exactly, exactly.
A brilliant book in this area is Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, because, you know, he's a trained psychiatrist, so he talks all about the mind and the brain and the psychology. But he lived through the Holocaust, and he's in Auschwitz, and he's lost family members, and he's obviously living through hell, and yet he chooses to look over the barbed wire and see the sunset, because he can see the impact that has. When people gave up, that's when their health went down. So that's a brilliant book.
Mm.
But to give a more pop culture that popped into my head, because we're all having Taylor Swift mania, I went to the concert with my daughter and we were watching Miss Americana, the Netflix documentary, and she was talking in it about tabloid photos and how looking at them and deeming one where she didn't look good would bring her down.
Mm.
It started to impact the way she ate, over exercising and a real bad relationship with body and her food. And now when that thought comes, she stops it, and she actually talks about it in the documentary. So she says, no, we're not going there.
Yes,
we're not going there. We don't do that anymore. That doesn't lead me to a good place. And then she moves on. And I just thought that was a brilliant example of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is it all about achievement, I wanted to ask you? When we're talking about working on our self-worth and what we're going to do with that, is it all about achievement and gain, or is the ultimate goal satisfaction and contentment with where you're at right now?
I think it's both, because I don't think you can probably put one over the other, because everyone is different. So for some people, achievement might, you know, make them feel better, but for the other, it might be just contentment. And I think it's both. And I think it's for every individual to figure out what it is you actually want out of life. Do you want to progress? Do you want to have better relationships? Do you want to stop being a people pleaser? Do you want to just be more content with what you have and visualize what you want for the future and start working on that? So I think...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be careers based.
Exactly.
But number one is the self-esteem and the self-worth. And that's your starting block.
And that affects everything. That will affect your family life, your home life, your friendships and your work. So it's the secret key really to unlocking the happiness on everything. There isn't anything that wouldn't get improved by you working on your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, I love it. Well, look, I look forward to seeing you hold up that medal at the end of the triathlon.
I get out of the swim, I'll be just so happy. And my swim coach is like, stop it. I have to get out of my head so much in the water, because I get in my head too much and I stop. So if I get out of the water, I'll be just so happy. I'm like, the bike and run, it'll be fine. But you know, like, it's such an amazing cause and I'm so delighted to be part of it. And it's just funny how... I think when I'm, you know, obviously I'm working in this industry, in this space, when you just become so aware of it, and I'm there getting a mindset coaching from the swim coach, and I'm like, hang on, I'm the mindset coach.
Yeah.
But it's amazing when you actually start to just bring it in very simply and very easy into your life. And I suppose that's really what I wanted for people, is that you can actually take a course. It's simple to understand. The videos aren't very long. They're about 10 or 12 minutes, bite-sized chunks. Small pieces, step by step. Over time, you'll find as you're going through the course, people are finding, you know, one woman didn't understand the linkage between her eating habits and her self-esteem and self-worth. Never connected the two. Do you know what I mean? So it's amazing to hear what people are unlocking as they're going through the course. So I just hope people enjoy it. And yeah, I get out of the triathlon safely. It's in a few more weeks, the 21st of July. And I just have lots of more mindset stuff for me too.
You've got this, Marie. You have got this.
I got it, Claire. Okay, thanks, Claire.
For more information on Unlock Your Confidence and Marie's work, you can go to mariemccarthycoaching.com.
Yeah.
Marie McCarthy, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Claire. Great to see you again. Thank you.
Now, before I let you go, Marie, we always play out on a Sunday morning with a song. And I think we could do with an uplifting mindset song from the Mindset Coach. So what are you going to give us?
The one I keep thinking of is Keep On Running by the Spencer Davis Group. I have to sing that to myself all the time as I'm running to keep myself literally going.
Great. We'll play out with that, Marie. Thank
Brilliant.
You so much.
Thanks, Claire.
Great. Well, that's the one we'll go on. Keep on running, swimming and whatever life throws at you. That is it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Aidan McKelvey, and Hugo Da Silva Scott, who was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.